is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Aird. Today is the 16th of November, and this podcast episode is brought to you by Proofpoint. In today's top story, a major hack and leak influence operation is currently unfolding in the small Eastern European state of Moldova. A newly registered website named Moldova Leaks has published what it claims are private Telegram messages stolen from Moldova's ruling government. Telegram conversations from Moldova's Minister of Justice, Sergio Litvinenko, and the current Defence and National Security Advisor to the President, Doran Rechin, were leaked on the website, which has also promised to leak more material in the coming weeks. Members of pro-Russian political parties, including those being investigated for corruption and abuse of power, issued statements on social media to confirm the authenticity of their exchanges with the Moldovan Justice Minister. Litvinenko has also confirmed the leak, but says some messages have been modified or taken out of context. He called the website and the leak operation a part of Russia's hybrid war and an attempt to destabilise the country and its pro-European government. In other news, the Greek government paid 7 million euro to spyware maker Intellexa for access to the Predator surveillance platform and an additional 150,000 euro for the ability to rotate 10 new targets per month, according to a report from Greek news outlet Inside Story. The report comes as the government in Greece is under investigation by the EU for using spyware against a member of the European Parliament, as well as against journalists and prosecutors who were investigating government corruption cases. According to documents obtained by New York Times reporters, the FBI came very close to using spyware from Israeli company NSO Group in domestic criminal investigations. The push allegedly took place in late 2020 and the first half of 2021. But the FBI eventually decided against it after multiple reports tied the spyware to abuses committed by several governments across the globe. The Italian Data Protection Agency has banned the use of smart glasses and facial recognition software across Italy until the end of 2023, or until a specific law that deals with facial recognition technology is adopted by the central government. The agency, which recently ruled in a case against two municipalities, says the only permitted use of facial recognition is for law enforcement and judicial investigations, and nothing else. Google has agreed to pay an almost $400 million fine for misleading users who thought they'd disabled location tracking in their account settings. Attorney generals across 40 US states sued Google in 2018 after the Associated Press found Google was still collecting geolocation data and tracking its users, even when they'd enabled a Google account privacy setting that claimed to turn off location tracking. According to US government officials, the case represented the largest multi-state data privacy investigation in US history. French defence contractor Thales has confirmed that some of its data has been posted online by the Lockbit ransomware gang, but the company denies that hackers got access to any of its systems. In a press release, the company said the hackers most likely gained access to the portal of one of its partners and not to any of its internal systems. Vyacheslav Pankachov, also known under the alias of Tank, has been arrested in Switzerland, according to a report from InfoSec reporter Brian Krebs. Penchikov, a 40-year-old Ukrainian, was the leader of the Jabber Zeus crew, the cybercrime group known for deploying a version of the Zeus banking trojan back in the early 2010s. Penchikov was charged by US authorities in 2014, together with five other members of his gang. In threat intelligence news, SANSEC researchers are reporting a rise in attacks probing online stores for a vulnerability that impacts the Magento 2 and Adobe Commerce platforms. The vulnerability allows threat actors to place malicious orders on vulnerable stores that exploit the site's emailing feature to take over unpatched stores. Now, SANSEC has said that based on their data, around 38% of all Magento and Adobe Commerce stores had not been patched for the vulnerability as of November 2022. A big role in the rising number of probes also played the broad availability of an exploit for this vulnerability, with an exploit going on sale on hacking forums in July. Chinese security firm Qianxin published a report about recent attacks of Vietnamese cyber espionage group Ocean Lotus against Chinese organisations throughout 2021. Besides using exploits for older vulnerabilities, Qian Xin researchers say Ocean Lotus has weaponized 3 zero days for the operations. 1 zero day impacted a yet-to-be-named antivirus product, while the 2 other zero days affected an unnamed workstation management system. In addition, Qian Xin researchers also confirmed a report from another Chinese security firm named Weibo that claimed that Ocean Lotus was using compromised LOT devices to launch attacks against Chinese organizations. The Weibo report specifically linked Ocean Lotus to the Tory botnet. Broadcom's Symantec security team says it's identified new attacks carried out by an APT group named Billbug, also known as Thrip and Lotus Blossom. These new attacks, which have been ongoing since March 2022, have targeted multiple government agencies across Asia, but have also successfully compromised a certificate authority in an unnamed Asian country. Symantec says it notified the certificate authority and that while Billbug had the ability to abuse the company's certificates for its ongoing operations, they've not seen the group doing so, neither to sign malware samples nor to intercept web traffic. Academics from Canada and the US have published details on YPEEP, a new attack that exploits loopholes in the Wi-Fi 802.11 protocol to localize a target's Wi-Fi devices inside a predefined space, like a building or room. As explained by Matty Vanouf, a security researcher known for his work on Wi-Fi security, the YPEEP attack allows a threat actor to mimic a traffic buffering scenario, send fake network frames to a victim, and measure the response to localize the location of the victim's Wi-Fi device. Vanouf says that such a scenario is possible by using a drone to detect the location of Wi-Fi security cameras across a building. And lastly, researchers from the University of Michigan and NASA have published details about PC Spoof, a vulnerability impacting time-triggered Ethernet, a networking protocol that uses time scheduling to synchronize and deliver network packets across a network. The TTE protocol is widely used in spacecraft and aircraft technologies because the packet synchronization feature allows multiple systems to coexist safely on the same hardware inside mission-critical devices. According to the research team, the PSpoof attack breaks the isolation and synchronization between different communication systems on the same device and allows network traffic from one system to interact with other systems on the same device, putting critical systems in danger of malfunctioning. That is all the news for now. Closing this episode, we have Sherrod DeGrippo, Proofpoint's Vice President of Threat Research and Detection, who'll be sharing some insights on the recent comeback of the Emotet botnet.
So we haven't seen Emotet since July of this year. It came back this month, and it's one of our highest volume actors. Obviously, we see hundreds of thousands of messages per day leveraging Emotet, and we're really excited that it's back. So Emotet is usually a first stage downloader, and we've seen it recently dropping Iced ID, which is another downloader. So that means that all kinds of additional later stage payloads can be put on a machine if it gets infected with Emotet. We have seen a couple of changes and improvements. So there are new XL attachments for the LORs. There's some changes to the actual binary of Emotet, and of course Iced ID is new for Emotet. It's kind of a lighter version of the loader. And we've also seen some people reporting that Emotet is dropping Bumblebee, which is another downloader, and Iced ID. So all of these things, plus some of the analysis we've done, indicate that Emotet's going to return to full functionality as a delivery network for a lot of the major malware families. Emotet is back, and honestly, I love it and hate it. Emotet is terrifying. But I, of course, always want to give shouts and greets to CryptoLamus and all the people in threat research that work on Emotet. It has been around for years, and it's incredibly powerful. It's one of the highest volume actors we've seen for years and years and years. So a big group of people work hard on it, and I want to send a thank you out to them. Another fun fact about our most recent Emotet campaigns is that TA-542 is doing attachments with Greek names. It's doing attachments in English, it's doing attachments in Italian, and it's doing attachments in French and Japanese. We'll be publishing a full report about this on the Proofpoint Threat Insight blog later this week, so check that out.
And that is all for today's news. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com.